No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, and no matter where you are right now, you are welcome here. Welcome to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I'm Jill. Today is the 12th day of June, and I am so glad that you are here. However you got here, however you made your way through the airspace, through the doors of the Bible, welcome. I hope that you will never be the same by listening to the Word of God, and that your relationship with God will never be the same because you know Him personally, intimately, and you know Him for yourself, which means you gotta let go of some of the things you may have learned or heard about Him to reveal the truth of who He truly is, and allow Himself to reveal Himself to you personally. It's such a beautiful thing, but it can be disruptive when we have to sit with the things that we thought were true about Him and embrace the truth of who He is. Life will never be the same. And that's the whole point. Today we're going to read 1 Kings chapter 7, and then we'll read 2 Chronicles chapter 4. Just a couple days left in the International Standard Version. 1 Kings chapter 7. But Solomon took 13 years to build his own palace and finally finished it. He built his own palace out of timber supplied from the forest of Lebanon. It was 100 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, 20 cubits tall, and was constructed on 4 rows of cedar pillars with cedar beams interlocking the pillars. There were 45 pillars paneled with cedar above the side chambers with rows of 15 pillars, with 3 rows of framed windows facing each other in 3 ranks. All the doorways and doorposts had rectangular frames with the doorways facing each other in 3 tiers. There was also a hall of pillars 50 cubits long and 30 cubits wide, and a porch in front with pillars and a canopy in front of the pillars. He constructed the judgment hall for the throne room where he would be ruling, paneling it with cedar from floor to ceiling. Solomon's personal dwelling quarters, a separate court behind the hall, was of similar workmanship. Solomon also built a house similar to this for Pharaoh's daughter, whom Solomon had married. All of these were made with expensive stones pre-cut according to specifications, hand-sawed inside and out from the foundation to the coping, including from inside to the great court. The foundation was made of expensive stone, including large stones 10 cubits long and stones 8 cubits long. Above these were expensive stones cut according to specifications in cedar. So the great court was surrounded by 3 rows of cut stone, along with a row of cedar beams, just like the inner court of the Lord's temple and the porch surrounding the temple. King Solomon sent for Hiram from Tyre, the son of a widow from the tribe of Naphtali, whose father was from Tyre. A bronze worker, he was wise, knowledgeable, and was skilled in all sorts of bronze working. He went to King Solomon and did all of his work. He fashioned 2 bronze pillars, each one 18 cubits high, with a circumference of 12 cubits. He also crafted 2 capitals of cast bronze and set them on top of the pillars. The height of 1 capital was 5 cubits, and the height of the other capital was 5 cubits. A network of lattice work on top of the pillars was inlaid with ornamental wreaths and chains, the top of each pillar containing 7 groups of ornamental structures. The pillars contained 2 rows of ornaments shaped like pomegranates around the lattice work, covering the top of each pillar. The capitals on top of each pillar above the rounded lattice work contained 4 cubits, of lily designs, with the capitals on the 2 pillars covered by 20 pomegranates in rows around both the capitals above and adjoining the rounded lattice work. That's how he designed the pillars at the portico of the sanctuary. When he set up the right pillar, he named it Jachin. When he set up the left pillar, he named it Boaz. The work on the pillars was finished with a lily design on top of the pillars. Hiram also made a sea of cast metal 10 cubits from brim to brim, circular in shape and 5 cubits and 30 cubits in its inner circumference. Under the brim, completely encircling it, were two rows of gourds inlaid as part of the original casting, 10 to a cubit. The sea stood on top of 12 oxen, 3 faced north, 3 faced west, 3 faced south, and 3 faced east. The sea was set on top of them, and their hind parts faced the center. The reservoir, which held about 2,000 baths, stood about a handbreadth thick, and its rim looked like the brim of a cup or of a lily blossom. Hiram also made 10 bronze water carts. Each one was 4 cubits wide, 4 cubits long, and 3 cubits high. The carts were designed with borders between cross pieces, and on the borders between the cross pieces were lions, oxen, and cherubim. A pedestal was placed above the cross pieces, and beneath the lions and oxen there were wreaths hanging down. Each cart had 4 bronze wheels equipped with bronze axles with 4 support feet. Beneath the basin were cast support structures made like wreaths on each side. The opening to each water cart inside the crown on top was 1 cubit wide with engravings on the opening. The borders to the frames surrounding the opening were square, not round. The 4 wheels were placed underneath the borders, and the axles for the wheels were on the stand. Each wheel stood 1.5 cubits high. The wheels resembled those of a chariot with their axles, rims, spokes, and hubs made of cast bronze. 4 supports stood at the 4 corners of each cart, built into the carts themselves. On top of each stand was a circular structure 1/2 of 1 cubit high, with its braces and support frames integral with it, forming a single piece. Hiram engraved ornamental cherubim, lions, and palm trees on the surfaces of the supports and frames wherever there was space to do so, and encircled the artwork with wreaths. He made 10 identical water carts by using the same plans, castings, and shapes for all of them. Hiram also fashioned 10 bronze basins, each holding about 40 baths, each basin measuring 4 cubits in diameter, with 1 basin for each stand. He set 5 of the stands on the right side of the temple and 5 on the left side of the temple. He set the bronze sea on the right side of the temple eastward, facing the south. Hiram also made the basins, shovels, and bowls to complete the work that he performed for King Solomon in the Lord's temple, including the 2 pillars and the bowls for the capitals that stood on top of the 2 pillars, along with the 2 lattices that covered the 2 bowls of the capitals that stood on top of the pillars, plus the 400 pomegranates for the 2 lattices, that is, the 2 rows of pomegranates for each lattice to cover the 2 bowls of the capitals that stood on top of the pillars, the 10 stands with the 10 basins on the 10 stands, the single bronze sea, and the 12 oxen that stood under the sea, and the pots, shovels, and bowls, all of these utensils that Hiram made for King Solomon for the Lord's temple were made from polished bronze. The king had them cast in the clay ground between Succoth and Zarethan in the Jordan plains. Solomon never inventoried the weight of the bronze used because there were too many utensils, so the weight of the bronze used was never ascertained. Solomon made all the furnishings that were placed in the Lord's temple, including the golden altar and the golden table on which the bread of the presence was placed, along with the lampstands, 5 on the right side and 5 on the left in front of the inner sanctuary, all made of pure gold, as well as the flower blossoms, lamps, and tongs of gold, and the cups, snuffers, bowls, spoons, and the fire pans, all made of pure gold, and hinges for the doors of the inner sanctuary, the most holy place, and for the gates of the temple that led to the nave, also of gold. Thus all the work that King Solomon performed in the Lord's temple was finished. Then Solomon brought in the articles that had been dedicated by his father David, including silver, gold, and other utensils, and he placed them into storage in the treasures of the Lord's temple. 2 Chronicles chapter 4. Solomon also constructed a bronze altar 12 cubits long, 12 cubits wide, and 10 cubits high. He crafted a circular sea of cast metal 10 cubits from rim to rim and 5 cubits tall. A line 30 cubits long surrounded it. Underneath, figurines resembling oxen encircled the circular sea beneath it, 10 oxen every cubit, and encircling the sea completely. The oxen were in two rows, cast all at the same time. The sea stood on top of 12 oxen, 3 of which faced to the north, 3 of which faced to the west, 3 of which faced to the south, and 3 of which faced toward the east. The sea was placed on top of the oxen with all of their hindquarters turned inwards. It was a handbreadth thick, with its brim fashioned like the brim of a cup. Similar in shape to a lily blossom, it could hold 3,000 baths. Solomon also made 10 wash basins, placing 5 on the right side and 5 on the left. The basins were intended for use to rinse burnt offerings, and the sea was intended for use by the priests to wash in. Solomon made 10 gold lampstands as he had been directed and set them in the temple, 5 on the south side and 5 on the north side. He also made 10 tables and placed them in the temple, 5 on the right side and 5 on the left side. He also constructed 100 gold basins. He made the court of the priests, the great court, and the doors for the court, overlaying their doors with bronze. He set the sea at the southeast corner of the temple. Haram Abai crafted the pots, shovels, and basins, thus completing the work that he did for King Solomon on the temple of God, that is, the two pillars, the bowls, the two capitals on top of the pillars, the two lattice works that covered the two bowls for the capitals that were on top of the pillars, the 400 pomegranate-shaped ornaments for the lattice work of the two pillars, each lattice work having 2 rows of ornaments at the bowl-shaped top of each pillar, the 10 stands with their 10 basins, the large bronze basin called the sea with the 12 oxen underneath, along with its pots, shovels, forks, and all of its other implements that Haram Abai made from polished bronze for King Solomon and the Lord's temple. The king had them forged in the clay ground between Sukkoth and Zereda in the Jordan plain. Solomon made so many utensils in such great quantities that the weight of the bronze was never fully recorded. Solomon also made these items for God's temple: the golden altar, the tables for the bread of the presence, the lampstands and their lamps made of pure gold to burn in front of the inner sanctuary as required, the pure gold ornaments in the shape of flowers, the lamps and the tongs, all made of the purest gold, the gold trimming instruments, basins, pans, censers, and the gold door sockets for the inner sanctuary, that is, the most holy place, and for the doors to the main hall of the temple. Okay, so we are learning the details of this palace that Solomon is building for himself and the great, extensive intentionality and the extravagant materials, the preciseness of the details of the palace. And as you can gather from the materials and the dimensions of his palace, this is done because of enormous wealth. When I was little, I wanted to make myself a clubhouse. I wanted my own space. I wanted to go outside. And I wanted to be able to be alone. And I loved being outside next to the woods. When I didn't have friends to play with, I wanted to take my dolls and be outside and just have my own space. And I tried to construct a little clubhouse by pounding boards into the ground, and it didn't work very well, needless to say. But this is the extent I went to have my own space. Some wood boards my dad had pounded in the ground, a blanket over them, and they just kept falling. But I remember someone, a neighbor drove by and laughed at me. And it just crushed me because I was going to find a way. And what is true in my heart now is I've learned how to build things just enough to put up a wall near my garden. And I got a lot of projects going on at the same time. Needless to say, my determination mixed with my learning how to do what I never thought I could, mixed with my little girl desire now in my big girl body, I'm gonna make this little space that I've always dreamt of. And I gotta have a plan. I'm gonna find a plan. My point is that now, having the knowledge and the know-how and the wanting, the desire to build, materials are expensive. Solomon was a wealthy man. He asked God for wisdom. And because he did ask God for wisdom, God then also blessed him with wealth. And what we're seeing here is Israel, the nation of Israel, in its finest hour. Yes. But what we're also seeing is really the comparison of what Solomon is building for himself in contrast to what is being built as the temple, the first temple of worship for God. And while we're just digging into the details of the palace, we are going to have to pay attention and notice a particular shift, priority of King Solomon. So we will pause here today. Jesus, we thank you for your word. I thank you today for loving us. I pray that our lives, our hearts would reciprocate that love back to you as we worship you, and not just look at worship as a thing that we do inside of a building, but that our lives would reflect the worship and the honor that we give to you daily through our words, our actions, our interactions with those around us. May we love the unlovable in the same way that you did, that you chose to. And may we be intolerant to evil and sin, our own sin, that we are all capable of. We give you thanks and praise. And I pray this all in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Daily Audio Bible, that is home base, that is the website, that is the app 2.0. She's out. She's cooking. It's good. Check it out. We are talking spiritual connection cards right now. Brand new release. I've got them right here. I'm just pulling them out. It's a really great tool. I've already talked about all of the different ways that you can use them and utilize them. I'll just read one real quick. Just give you a little teaser here. Sometimes I feel that I'm failing you, God. What do I really need to be doing? Just great little questions to spark thought, spark conversation. They're great around a dinner table with family. They're great a group at church, a community outside of church. They're great for youth. Great to do with your husband, your wife, your spouse. Great to do with your kids. Lots of different ways to use them. There's really no wrong way to use them. And for each question, there is just a little scripture reference if you would like to meditate a little bit further on the scripture. And I would encourage you to really explore and listen. It's not a matter of getting the questions right and having the answers, but really sitting with the questions and pulling them apart and seeing what comes up. So, spiritual connection cards, while they last, they're going fast. Buy 5 packs and get the 6th pack free. Available now. at the Daily Audio Bible Store on the app. If you would like to partner with us, thank you so much to each and every one of you for each and every partnership. If you're giving by mail, DAB PO Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174. Or if you're utilizing the app, hit the give icon up at the top right hand corner. And lastly, look for give on the website. If you need prayer, if you'd like to pray for those that have previously called in, several different ways for you to do so. 800-583-2164. That is the number for chronological. Or you can use the app again. Hit the red circle button up at the top right-ish, hand-ish corner. When you are finished, hit the red microphone and then to the bottom right, hit chronological to ensure that your call gets to the right place. That's gonna do it for me today. I'm Jill. We'll turn the page together tomorrow and finish this week out together strong. I love you all. Until tomorrow, love one another.
Hello, DABC family. This is Mark, the baby doctor from Dayton, Ohio. Carolyn from in Superior, Wisconsin. I'm praying for Mickey, your husband. I'm praying that the Lord would begin the healing process and restoration of all of the cells damaged by this stroke that he has suffered from, his glioblastoma. I pray that during rehab, he would sense some movement and strength on the left side of his body, and that he would feel the love of the Lord, because perfect love casteth out all fear. I pray for that fear of the unknown and what's ahead for both you and Mickey, in the name of Jesus. And Christy from Alabama, it was good to hear your voice. And I'm still lifting up Nathan, your son, that his body would respond to the medications for his impulse control and anger. But I pray that the Holy Spirit would take over his body, would take over these impulses, and that he would sense the Holy Spirit in these moments, and through God's power and grace, those impulses and anger would come under the control of the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. So we lift all of these prayers up to the Lord, and we'll continue lifting them up. I love all of you. Thank you.
Hey, DABC, it's his redeemed daughter in Florida. Oh, Jill, I love when you're in the Psalms, Psalms 111. Praise and exalt the Lord. His faithfulness endures forever. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I just love the praising God and saying these things, and I need to say it more often. Lord God, I'm asking for prayer again. I just don't know where to turn. I need discernment. I need you to show me where to go with this lymphatic fluid. For over a year, I've had two surgeons, the surgeon twice do surgery, and it's not working. And then he just had to stick a catheter in me, and I had to cancel my trip that I had scheduled. But thank you, God, that it's going to rain where I was going to go, and you upgraded it to a 3-bedroom, 2-bath. Good things happen to those who wait, because God is faithful. Lord, help me to hold on and to just keep praying for others, and to show me where there's sin or anything going wrong, and show me where I need to go to a lymphatic doctor, massage therapist, where I need to go next. I'm praying for Kim, who called in about her foot and her cough and her GI tract, and the lady who's looking to put her RV somewhere. Praise God that you guys passed your tests. I'm just praying for everybody, and I love y'all, but I'm just asking God, please show me where to go next with this this fluid. I have a catheter just stuck in me now, and it's just exhausting after a year. I love you, I trust you, and I know you're with me, but I get so sad and tired sometimes because I want to move forward, and then it's just one step.
Hey, DABC family, this is Kristen, aka Christ in Me. I have a prayer request for myself. I'm praying for the restoration of the relationship between myself and my sister. We have not spoken in over a year and a half. It is not what I want. And the reasons are confusing to me. And I don't really understand. But if you could just pray that my sister's heart would be touched and that there would be a restoration of the relationship. I'm about to travel around the country and I will be up where she lives, and I really want to see her and my niece and nephew, and I really miss them. And if it's God's will, that this relationship would be restored. Thank you, Dabsey family.
Howdy, DAB family. This is Darren Marichini from College Station, Texas. Just calling to pray for my wife, Lynn Marichini, who has her MPJE exam today. It's the law portion of her pharmacy license exam that she's got to take. And she's taking that today at 8 o'clock in the morning. So will y'all join me in prayer? Lord Jesus, let your kingdom come and your will be done in this MPJE exam for my wife, Lynn. Give her peace and confidence and endurance and positivity throughout this test. And Lord Jesus, if it's your will, let her pass this first time. We thank you for your provision and thank you for sustaining us the 4 years that she has gone to pharmacy school on just one income. And just we know that you have the ability to glorify your name through the work that she can do. We praise you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, family.
Hello, DABC family. This is Mark, the baby doctor from Dayton, Ohio. And sorry I missed your name. I just heard the word just, but you called in deep despair over a recent miscarriage as you're getting older and felt this would be your last chance. And my heart was just breaking because you didn't understand the why. And I don't know the why. I just want you to know that I'm sitting here praying for you, for your heart, for your husband, for your marriage, and for the Lord's presence in your life. And I'm just going to give a 30-second pause of silence, knowing that I'm sitting with you. We love you, and I'll continue praying. And Lisa in Missouri, I'm praying for your brother Bill in North Carolina with type 1 diabetes. I pray that the Lord would give him strength to endure dialysis and the pain of this bowel perforation, and that he would respond to the antibiotics, and that physicians would have wisdom on how to care for him and all the things going on with him. And I pray for the presence of the Lord in his room, even today, in Jesus' name. I love all of you.